As the church has summarized it, and we together confess it in Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 11. And here we repeat after God in our own words what the Lord has taught us in Scripture. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, Savior? Because he saves us from all our sins. And because salvation is not to be sought or found in anyone else. Do those who seek their salvation or well-being in saints, in themselves, or anywhere else also believe in the only Savior, Jesus? No. Though they boast of him in words, they in fact deny the only Savior, Jesus, for one of two things must be true. Either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or those who by true faith accept the Savior must find in him all that is necessary for their salvation. Brothers, sisters, the Church of Jesus Christ, of course, speaks about Jesus the Savior. And the members of the Church of Jesus Christ, of course, believe in Jesus the Savior, confess Jesus the Savior. Well then, did you need Jesus this past week? How? How did you need Jesus yesterday, Friday, Thursday? We say, Jesus, that means Savior from sin. In him is forgiveness, and so we're heirs to life eternal. Yes. How did that help you in Friday? It turns out, congregation, that the emphasis of the Scripture on the value of Jesus is not eternal life on the day I die. The emphasis is there. But the emphasis is that Jesus is Savior helps me today. Today I am immensely rich. And that's why I summarize the sermon with this theme: Jesus makes us infinitely rich today. I ask your attention for 3 points. Why raise that matter? In the second place, what's the answer? And in third place, how do you respond? Why raise that matter? Why, congregation, should I ask what Jesus meant for you last Friday, last Thursday? I ask it because it seems to me there are those in our midst who do not quite grasp what Jesus came to do, do not quite grasp the benefit of Jesus, the Savior. Can you say, what makes you say that? Well, consider the following. Life has its struggles. Every last one of us has struggles of one shape or the other. In response, we're looking for a sense of well-being. How do I rise above the struggle? How do I cope? And those in our midst who answer that question with eating. Comfort food. And hate ourselves when the results show up on the scales. And as others of us turn to drink, to weed, to get rid of the tension, to cope with the burden, and feel terrible when they come off it again. There's others who turn to porn, sex, to free themselves from inner frustration. There's those that are amidst to travel in order to escape. And somewhere the sense is, if I do that, I'll feel better. I do that, I can cope, get a sense of well-being, I can handle it. This is my little bit of heaven, and I can drop the troubles for a while. But turn then to your confession, congregation. Question 30 speaks about seeking salvation, well-being, be it in saints, be it in oneself, be it anywhere else. Anywhere else would include food, would include drink, would include drugs, would include travel, would include, the list goes on, right? Do those who seek their salvation and well-being there also believe in the only Savior, Jesus? And the answer of the confession is no. Though they boast him in words, and that's what the church does. The church boasts of Christ Jesus, confesses Christ Jesus. These members, in fact, deny in their deeds the only Savior, Jesus, for one of two things must be true. Either Jesus is a complete Savior, or he's not. But I could add a second argument to the statement I made. There's those who don't grasp what Jesus is about. The second argument, and that is this. If I ask you, what is the value of believing in Jesus? What's the answer that automatically pops to mind? What Jesus is for? Forgiveness. For life eternal. Jesus? That's my insurance for the day I die. I can stand before God's judgment. I shall be spared the penalty of hell. That's all future oriented. That's for the next life. But that is not, congregation, what Scripture teaches. I'd invite you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the apostle writes in verse 32 these words, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely, graciously give us all things?" Now, what's the point of the phrase, graciously give us all things? The way the chapter is built, the surrounding verses, the emphasis is not life eternal. What happens when I die? The emphasis is on the bits and pieces of this life. Look at verse 18. "I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing." Then the apostle goes on to write about the struggles of the present time. Look too at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation do it, or distress do it, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? It's the problems of this life. And so the apostle can say in 38, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, rulers, things present, things to come, nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. His point is not what happens when I die. His point is this life. And it's concerning this life that he says, the God who gave his son, how will he not with him graciously give us all things? The point is now. In step with that is the word of the apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the apostle's point is Jesus, and as a result, God gives you everything you need for this life. Everything you need for this life. The people around us are very aware that the church is about Jesus. If the people around us see us, hear us talking, singing about Jesus only with a view to the life to come, what's so attractive then about Jesus today? What the community around us and we within the church equally need to see each other do is lean today on Jesus. Not on food, not on smokes, not on holidays, not on somebody else's affirmation, but on Jesus for our sake, for our sense of well-being, of being able to cope with life. See, that's why I asked the question. That's why I raised the issue. What is Jesus for? All right, then second point, what's the answer? What is Jesus for? We read a portion from Matthew chapter 8. There's this leper, and he goes to Jesus. Why didn't he go to the doctor? Why didn't he go to Social Security? Why did he go to Jesus? Same with the centurion with his sick servant. Why did he go to Jesus? The problems that these two men were encountering, the one leprosy, the other his servant is sick, came from somewhere. And both the leper and the centurion understood where these problems came from and understood what Jesus came to earth to do. Where did the leprosy, that problem, where did the paralysis of the centurion servant, that problem, where did it come from? By the same token, congregation, where do your problems and mine come from? And we understand what the scripture says. The Lord God created this world. So we confessed a couple of weeks ago at Lord's Day 9. And he saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was no fault in it. But the scriptures continue, there came the fall into sin. And as a result of the fall into sin, the Lord God responded with his curse. What was the curse? This God who is of purer eyes than to behold evil was so offended by the fall into sin that he placed a curse on human life that expresses his displeasure on sin. What does this displeasure, this curse look like? Well, Genesis 3 speaks about enmity, fighting, friction between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Genesis 3 speaks about tensions in childbearing, and so in child rearing. Becoming parents isn't easy. Being parents isn't easy. There is strife in the home between parents and children. Genesis 3 speaks about tension between husband and wife. Where does it come from? The tension isn't an isolated thing between two people. I can't stand his character. The tension has its roots in Genesis 3. The displeasure of God. Work is difficult. There's toil, sweat to make ends meet, to feed the family, to pay the bills. How come? We experience it. Where does it come from? Genesis 3. God's displeasure because of the fall into sin. That's why there's thorns and thistles too in the fields and in interpersonal relations. That is why there is sickness, be it physical sickness, be it mental sickness, being able to cope with life. It's all made so much more difficult because of the fall into sin. That's what the Bible says, congregation. But if that's what the Bible says, then you and I have to make a decision. Either we say, yes, that's true, that's where the problems stem from, or we say, I don't believe it. If we say it's true, this is where the problems stem from, you're going to handle the tensions differently, as in you're going to seek a way out different in a different place than if you say, I don't believe it. Problems of life? It's just the evolutionary development not quite complete yet. So you got to make the most of it. Just give us time, we'll get there. Scripture says, difficulties come because of God's displeasure on sin. So what are you going to do, beloved, to get out from under God's displeasure on sin? What are you going to do? Smoke? That'll do it. Drink? That'll get out from under God's displeasure. Eat? Travel? There's a million bits and pieces you could possibly try, but none will escape. None will help you escape God's displeasure. And you want the evidence? Never has a culture, a civilization been as prosperous and have as many freedoms and opportunities as North America, and so many people are unhappy because the answer doesn't lie in any created thing. The problem is sin. So the answer is Jesus Christ. Why did he come into the world? Says the Lord through the angel to Joseph, you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what he came for. Jesus is Savior. The leper understood that. And that is why he came to Jesus. The centurion understood that. That is why he came to Jesus. The church understands that. That is why we say in Lord's Day 11, why is he called Jesus his Savior? And there's a confession. He saves us from our sins. Well, how did Jesus do that? Matthew 8. What does Jesus do with the leprosy? Jesus says, I will be clean. Immediately, the leprosy was gone. And we say, that's neat. Same with the paralyzed servant. Jesus spoke, and he's healed. Peter's mother-in-law touched her, healed. They brought many to him, says verse 16. And he cast out spirits, and he healed all who were sick. We say, that's a savior. Wish we had that kind of savior with us today. Heal our sick of whatever form the illness might be. Wouldn't that make a splash in the community? And that would make the church grow. Maybe we shouldn't be so optimistic. It was the people who were healed who contributed to Jesus' crucifixion. But notice, congregation, how Jesus healed the leper. He touched him. And the points of the touching is that Jesus took the man's uncleanness upon himself. And that is to say, he took on himself the cause of the man's uncleanness, sin. Jesus, you see, came to become the sinner, to become the object of God's wrath. It's striking that this is the first miracle Matthew records. The very man who says Jesus is Savior has Jesus touch the leper and take his sin upon himself so that Jesus becomes cursed. But that's what he came for. Matthew summarizes it all with that word of verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, yes, Isaiah 53. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. He took it all upon himself. The illnesses, the cause of the illnesses. And here, congregation, we need to have it fixed in our mind that sin is never simply an isolated misdeed and oops, sorry about that. Sin is always offense against God. God's reaction is never, hey, that's okay, I'll forgive. His reaction is always hatred, wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and wickedness of men, says Romans 1. As long as North Americans do not acknowledge that sin is against God, the American dream will always come up empty. But Jesus did take sin on himself. That is why he went to the cross. You want a picture of what God thinks about sin? Look at the cross. That is what you and I deserve. Nailed to the cross. Greatest darkness in midday. Because God is pouring out his wrath upon us. That's what we deserve. Then we say, I wish I wasn't sick. I wish you didn't have this problem, this marriage issue, this whatever difficulty there is. Wrath of God. Look at the cross. That, beloved, is what we deserve. And what's Jesus do? didn't buckle under the wrath of God, didn't collapse, curse God, and die, but he took on himself the penalty that I deserved because of my sins yesterday and Friday sins and Thursday sins. Every day anew, I deserve to be crucified. But I'm not crucified because, ultimately, because Jesus took the penalty on himself. Striking. And what's the result? The result is, says the apostle, we've been justified. God's not angry with me. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, says the apostle. That's the result. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore today no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Did you need Jesus on Friday? Did you need Jesus on Thursday? Your sins, congregation, demanded your crucifixion. Jesus was crucified in your place. Did you need Jesus on Friday? Why, of course you did. To take on himself the penalty we deserved. You see, that's Lord's Day 11. He saves us from our sins, dies in our place, that we can have life. And then you say, great, but then how come I'm still sick? How come there's still tension in my life? Besides that, look at all the unbelievers around us. Aren't they doing just fine? How come they don't perish under God's wrath? The unbelievers, Romans 2, do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? They live because God is patient. But the judgment you and I deserve and they deserve, they will receive. Everybody will. Unless you're covered in Jesus' blood. But back to the question then, does Jesus' blood not mean I shouldn't have tension anymore in my marriage, shouldn't have sickness anymore in my life? And then recall, congregation, last week's material, Lord's Day 10. Rain and drought, fruitful years and barren, health and sickness, all things cannot by chance by his fatherly hand. And why? Hebrews 12, they're all teaching moments. The Lord in his wisdom reaches into our lives in order to discipline us so that we may become more holy. Expressions of God's wrath for those who are covered in Jesus' blood? No. There is no more judgment. There is no more wrath. There is no more anger. The difficulties serve an other purpose. For those not covered in Jesus' blood, the difficulties may very well be expression of his anger. So our third point, how do you respond? Do you need Jesus? Do you work with the gospel every day? What do you intend to do tomorrow? Do you intend to think in terms of, I need Jesus. I need the Savior. How do you respond? My brothers, my sisters, your confession in Lord's Day 11, and we shall shortly repeat that confession with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. That confession's got to affect our thinking. I deserve damnation. Hell. But today I don't receive it, and therefore not tomorrow either, because today I am God's child. Today I am freed from my sins. Today my God gives me everything I need for life and godliness. I lack nothing. So that confession has to translate into action. For example, I do not lean on my bottle to help me cope. I do not lean on drugs, porn, whatever, to help me cope. I lean on Jesus. He who gave his only Son, will he not in him freely give us all things? That, beloved, is the promise. So what do you do? Then tomorrow, as you confront it again with your weaknesses and sins and struggles and shortcomings, and we shall be, we cling to that promise. Lord, you're my Savior. I need you, Jesus. And I trust that in you I have all I need. Brothers, sisters, you know what your family members and your friends are struggling with, and how they cope, and maybe don't cope. But this is material that has to be talked about around the coffee table, and maybe even in the pub. Talk of what Jesus is about, and work with it. Help each other. Direct each other to Jesus, Savior. My God isn't angry with me. He's now my Father and gives me all I need. Gospel caught in one word, Jesus. Amen.